B-Pod Studios.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Well, did, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog.
How do you mourn a sports loss? And the way I'm trying to deal with this, navigate this, and help the people, man. Randy, we are here. But it's a hug it out Monday, and the best that we can do is just give you a big electronic hug. We're doing it right now. Lots of hugs Saturday in Houston at Warehouse Live for the official Falcons party. Like, lots of hugs.
I mean, it was
ladies,
I saw
women, everybody. Just lots of. I said ladies and women. I meant ladies, men.
I know what you meant.
lots of hugs, bro. So it's a hug it out Monday, man. That's how I deal with an excruciating sports loss. And hopefully, look, our Falcons were mentally tough all year long, but I'm not giving up on this squad. Let's go around the room, man. It's a slice of life here with your boys, Rick and John. But to that person who, you know, maybe doesn't have a great life, and they needed this win, right, to sort of lift them up.
That's what sports do, man.
And so to that point, I came on. First thing I said was, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's not my fault, but I'm sorry. I'm just trying to give you condolences. That was a tragedy last night.
That was a tragedy.
Because, Randy, it's such a pump fake. 28-3 dominating? Forget about it. The game's over.
One and a half.
The game's over. No, dude, they came out and scored first in the third quarter.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the, I mean, you won.
Okay. 28-3, bro.
The amount of tweets I received Saturday night that just said, we looking at a hug it out Monday, bro? What's up? 28-3, bro. What a kick in the nuts. What a weird season. It's the Touch and Rich Show, 617-779-0985. As we take a look back, just nothing ever seemed to really fit or click. And ever since just the beginning, right, with the Antonio Brown situation all the way through what's been going on with Tom Brady not getting a contract at the beginning of the year that he wanted, and then you've got all the situation with the videotaping and everything else weirdo, and then you can go all the way back to, you know, what happened, you know, early in I think it was March or February with ownership. I mean, this has just been the weirdest season in a long time, which just sets up right now what is going to be the most interesting offseason with the Patriots. Well, I mean, in 2 decades. So who knows what the hell is going to happen with so many major pieces. It seems to me like there's 3 major parts are all going to go their separate ways, whether it be, you know, Belichick staying here, McDaniels finding another coaching gig, and Tom Brady finding what he believes is greener pastures or just greener bank accounts. It just is going to be the most interesting and strange offseason that many Patriots fans can remember. As a matter of fact, I mean, it almost seems like yesterday was interesting. Bill Belichick, and we'll play some of his press conference. He's obviously as frustrated as anyone because he doesn't have any answers. And I don't know if this is a situation where there's any real, like, if there's any answers that, like, I don't even know if you want Tom Brady here if you're Bill Belichick for the kind of money that he wants.
If you're Bill Belichick, you do not want Tom Brady here. And I understand we're going to dig into this and we have 4 hours to do so, but watching his press conference yesterday and listening back to it and reading the transcripts, he did everything but say, I want someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
It's time for Tom to go. He was given, especially by Ben Volen, many chances to shower platitudes on the most important player in franchise history, and he passed on all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand he's gruff. I understand it's 12 hours after they lost, and I understand he's angry. And I've seen Bill Belichick at his angriest. I was there in 06 when they kicked away a 21-3 halftime lead with a chance to go to the Super Bowl and lost, and he was an ass after that.
Yeah.
But yesterday, it seemed to me he did everything but scream, there's going to be a new quarterback here next year.
And this is so weird, too, because not only do you have the Tom Brady situation, but you've got the oldest. It's the oldest team in the league, and that defense is just old. I mean, by NFL standards, they are ancient. And there's a lot of guys that are up this year. You've got Devin McCourty, Kyle Van Noy, even Matt Slater.
Jamie Collins. Don't forget Joe Tooney, who is widely believed to be the best at his position, or one of the two or three best at his position in the entire league. Tooney got paid under $1 million this year.
That's crazy.
He's going to get a lot of cash
from
somebody. So, I mean, you got some very key pieces on both sides of the ball that are up there. 20 free agents on this team. Out of 53.
Yep. And it's funny because I was reading a lot yesterday about the possibility of Tom Brady staying here. And you know, there's all this talk about, you know, what would he be willing to take? How much money would he want to take? And on paper, it looks like the Patriots have a decent amount of cap room. Like, they're going to have $48 million to throw around. But then you just see that they essentially have half the team that's going to be walking away or needs to get a new contract. And there are certain guys who have earned big contracts in the league. And, I mean, we joke a little bit about Kyle Van Noy and the Boogeyman and all that stuff. But, I mean, that dude's going to get paid somewhere. There's no way they're going to keep him. Devin McCourty is going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on. But... you know, it's going to be a completely different feeling this season, because you want to find out whether or not Belichick feels confident in Jared Stidham, whether or not he has seen something that makes him go, you know what, if we are going to start all over, let's start all over. Let's do it with my guy. There's also, I mean, the talking heads were just on fire this weekend. Yep, they were on fire on Friday when you had Bart Scott talking about how Andy Dalton should be the next Patriot, you know, quarterback of the Patriots, which I just thought was hysterical.
Okay.
But I mean,
Watch though. He'll come here and then light it up.
Well, it'll be
because it's Belichick. He'll light it up.
Right. It'll be a Tannehill situation, although Tannehill obviously did nothing. Did really nothing. But
no.
That was a great game plan. But, I mean, that's the thing, is that Vrabel was awesome. I love Mike Vrabel. I absolutely love Mike Vrabel. Not only did we learn that I think he's a good coach, but he's also got that, like, that balls. The way that he absolutely out-Belichicked Belichick.
During that, shoved
it in his face.
Yeah, where you
with
got
the delay of game. And, I mean, that was just, I'm sitting there watching that going, dude, that guy rules. Like,
all
if
right.
he's your coach, and you see him shove that right back in Belichick's face, you've got to be loving that as a Titans fan.
If you're a Titans fan and you're being honest with yourself, how much of it was the game plan that beat the Patriots? Now, how much of it was Vrabel's brilliance, other than him killing a minute and a half off the clock when it really mattered?
Okay.
All they did after the first quarter, for the entire second and third quarter, was hand it to Derrick Henry, and the Patriots were unable to stop it. Any head coach is like, well, if they can't stop it, let's just keep giving them the football.
You say that, and here's why I'm going to give Mike Vrabel credit. How many times have you seen another team come in with an excellent game plan and just continue to run it, and then for some reason change it against the Patriots? It's happened all year long. But Vrabel isn't stupid. Vrabel's like...
Right. He wasn't intimidated. I get that. But it wasn't the brilliance of Mike Vrabel. It was the execution of the offensive line and the talent of the guy carrying the football.
It didn't have to be the brilliance. All it had to be was, don't give the Patriots anything. Because the Patriots will exploit you on any screw-up that you make. And Vrabel came in here and he had his team ready to play. And they were fairly mistake-free. Because if there's one thing that the Patriots can get an edge on, it's because they're fairly disciplined, and they'll be able to exploit you if you screw up. I mean, you hear it on Zolik and Bertrand do a very good segment called Why Other Teams Are Stupid. And it is funny how you just – these guys, coaches all around the NFL, and it's amazing how they can't find just a couple of them that can just be competent, much less just do something completely stupid. And Vrabel didn't. Vrabel came in, and as maybe he didn't do anything fantastic, although I'm telling you, that moment where he frustrated the hell out of Belichick, I just sat back.
No, and that was brilliant, stud. And that's something that Belichick has done to countless head coaches over the last 20 years. Things yep. like that, you know, ineligible tackles lining up as a wideout against yep. Baltimore. I mean, he's done stuff like that to win in ball games and force rule changes in this league. And by the way, I'm thinking what Vrabel did to Belichick is going to force a rule change sure. during the offseason.
Well, Vrabel is fearless, and he mother-effed him. I mean, he just took sure. something from earlier in the season and watched enough tape. And it was, you know what he is? To me, and I've heard somebody compare it to, he seems like a Bill Cowher type guy. Like, he's an ex-player who everyone, all the players not only respect, but he also is a great players coach who isn't afraid to do things that are a little in your face or a little gutsy. And I think that he's everything that you would want in a coach. I honestly believe that. Now, obviously, Bill Belichick's there's no question that you would prefer to have Bill Belichick, but I love the guts on that dude. And he came in here, and we said it before, if the Patriots were to continue to the Super Bowl all the way, it was just a trail of coaches who don't fear the Patriots. You had Vrabel, you had Andy Reid, and then, of course, you had Harbaugh. And I just think that it's a strange place where this team is at right now, where you might be missing a lot of pieces, and free agency is going to change everything. But you still have the greatest coach of all time. And he's still very good at his job. It's just, it is weird now when you take a look at the people who have had tutelage under him, whether it's an ex-player or an ex-coach, they're now finding success. And I believe we might be at 500 now. If it's not 500, it's right there.
I think it's 16 and 16.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes.
that's interesting to watch how it's kind of the tide's turned a little bit. But here we go. A weird ass season deserves a weird ass off season, and it's just going to get stranger. But we got Jeff Howe is going to be with us at 7 o'clock. He's going to be he's been on top of all the different teams that, you know, Brady might go to. Obviously, he's been talking to a lot of the insiders as far as what they think is going to happen with Josh McDaniels and the rest of the team.
He was there yesterday for one of the stranger press conferences. You'll see.
I loved it.
Double check.
I loved it, yep. And I think that Brady gave us some nuggets. I think we actually learned something from Brady's post-game press conference. The way the game ended was weird. I'm not talking about the pick six, but just, I mean, unceremoniously just went off the field. There wasn't like this huge rousing Brady thing after that. I think they were more stunned than anything. I saw one video of a guy crying. I don't even know how real that was. It was just an odd, odd ending to that game. But we'll get into that. And we'll take your calls as well this morning since Fred isn't here. 617-779-0985. We'll get to all that right after this.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and 2 days later, there seems to be more questions than answers.
15 seconds to go. No timeouts for the Pats. We don't know if they're the final 15 seconds in the Patriots' career of Tom Brady. But as he stands in the end zone out of the gun, this crowd letting him know how they feel. Brady takes the snap, drops back, fires underneath for Sanu. Ball's tipped, intercepted by Logan Ryan, who hops into the end zone. A pick six.
Is that fitting?
To end it here in the postseason with 9 seconds to go.
It was a season that had the Patriots losing their last two games to Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Tannehill at home. A final game where Mike Vrabel out-Belichicked Coach Belichick in a season where Tom Brady seemed miserable throughout its entirety, and now it's over. And boy, did the Titans seem to relish every single bit of it, including Logan Ryan, who didn't really seem to like what Kyle Van Noy had been saying before Saturday's game.
You know, that organization has so much class. So, like, my guy Kyle Van Noy calling a revenge tour. Just play ball, Kyle. Like, you know, I'm sure you're going to see this. He won a hyenas, and he's on a revenge tour. Why not start the Titans? And I understand he's going to ride the wave of the Patriots, but Tom Brady doesn't do that. Doing that doesn't do that. Devin McCourty, Gilly Lock don't do that. And Kyle Van Noy's running his mouth, giving us bulletin board material about his revenge tour. His revenge tour ended early. And, you know, I'm sure I'll hear something in the group chat from my guys about it over there. But Deb, Duran, J-Mac, I'm sorry I had to say, my man Van Noy's been tripping. And so his revenge tour ended early, so hope he enjoys it.
See, this is the point of the show where I usually would have let Fred do a little bask in his boogeyman ridicule. But, I mean, when you give yourself a name like that, they're going to enjoy every second of your downfall. Even, what's that?
What? Honest to God, Logan Ryan. How is that bulletin board material?
Oh, of course it's bulletin board material.
No, it's
not. You're looking for anything that you can get. And for someone to say it's going to be a revenge tour, as if you're just another step like on the way to the Super Bowl.
No, it was you. They embarrassed the crap out of us last year. Here's a chance to avenge that loss. It just lines up. If we do this, that we'd wind up playing three teams that we had already lost to.
Even Matthew Slater knew that that was the wrong thing to say. When he was asked about Kyle Van Noy's revenge tour comment, Matthew Slater looked at the reporter and said, "We're playing the Titans, and right now we're preparing for the Tennessee Titans."
Yeah, who you got embarrassed by the time before. Look, the greatest thing is when former Patriots players talk a lot of smack after beating the Patriots. I remember Deion Lewis went out of his way to talk smack about the Patriots after they embarrassed them in Nashville. Patriots went on to win the Super Bowl. Tennessee missed the playoffs.
He didn't talk trash about the Patriots. He talked trash about Kyle Van Noy. Matter of fact, he thought everyone else, I mean, that's an organization filled with class. And he goes, but Kyle Van Noy to say that they're going on a tour?
I just think it's overblown. I really do.
You say that, but this is the kind of... Matter of fact, Mike Vrabel even seemed a bit pissed about the Baltimore material given to them by the Patriots, including this hype video, which Tom Brady posted before the game. If you didn't see it, it sounded like this.
This lion, he's the king of the jungle. He's laying down under a tree. He doesn't want to move. Now, the other animals, they notice this. They start to move in. The jackals, hyenas, barking at him, laughing at him. And they get closer and closer and bolder.
Till one day, that lion gets up and tears the shit out of everybody. Runs like the wind, eats everything in his path. Every once in a while, the lion has to show the jackals who he is. It's too late to be scared.
All right, two things. Number one, according to the Globe, Mike Vrabel entered the Titans locker room after the game shouting, "They want hyenas? They got the effing hyenas." Number two, I've seen almost every Christopher Walken movie. I've never heard that clip before in my entire life. It's apparently from a 2002 movie called Pool Hall Junkies.
You haven't seen it?
No.
If you haven't seen it, then nobody's seen it.
I had to look it up. It's a movie that barely featured Walken. It starred Chaz Palminteri and Ricky Schroeder of Silver Spoons fame. And it sure as hell by the trailer feels like it was the last of the Pulp Fiction wannabe movies that came in its wake.
Sounds like an SNL skit at like 12:45 in the morning.
Pool Hall Junkies. It's like one of those dudes who made like the Boondock Saints. Like, I got a gritty crime movie. And they like gave Walken like, you know, like $10. And he would, you know, showed up and did that line and that was it. But yeah, I saw that. I was like, what the hell movie is this? Like, I think I've seen everything with Christopher Walken. But this is weird. So, yeah. So, I mean, you joke about the bulletin board material, and I know that it's downplayed, but almost all of the players who have played for the Patriots that we've talked about and other teams, they say that it's a real thing. And it obviously motivated Mike Vrabel, and it definitely motivated Logan Ryan. Whether that makes them play better, that's obviously, who cares? It's subjective. But, it, you know, afterwards, They can say all they want because they ended up leaving the winners. But Belichick afterwards was understandably grim. My favorite exchange came when a quote-unquote reporter used one of my least favorite phrases by referring to a fan base as blank nation. And for that, it made Belichick's answers all the more glorious.
Hi, Bill. I know this is a disappointing evening for you, but Pat's Nation, your fans, have stuck with you through thick and thin. Social media, they still love you. Do you have any message for the fans who are so supportive of you and the team?
Yeah, we appreciate our fans. I wouldn't say it's been all that thin around here personally. Maybe you feel differently, but I haven't heard too many fans say that, so...
Now go home and get your shine box.
That was the best. Like, when she said through thick and thin, even when I was listening to it, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And what's great is that she asked almost that exact same question to Tom Brady, but she rephrased it through thick and thin. It was through hard times.
Exactly.
Because she had just pretty much gotten by Bill. But I mean, that's the kind of questions you get on when, you know, people just show up who aren't usually there. But he was then.
By the way, it was. I think that was a tough question for Belichick to answer, because usually after a loss, he said, you know, we didn't. We got to coach better. We got to play better. We got a lot of things to work on. You know, entering the off season. And usually in any and all answers include, you know, we just finished the game. I don't want to talk about that right now. That question, regardless of what you think about it, actually forced him to form a human answer.
Like, what? So that was a human answer? Him going, well, I don't
think as human, and you will agree, that's as human as he will get after a loss like that.
I thought it was great. I thought it was a funny answer. And I was like, all right, well, good for him. Because, like, I mean, would he come in there saying all the thin times? What? Oh. You know, you got bounced in the first round of the playoffs.
How often does he pat himself on the back either? I mean, that you got him, you got Bill Belichick to pat himself on the back and give and sound almost human. Something you never get after a loss.
I guess you make
so good for her.
I guess you make a decent point. But now it's all about Tom Brady in an extremely weird and anticlimactic moment after his pick six at the end of the game. Brady spent no extra time on the field, ran off only to be asked questions about facing his first time ever as a free agent and whether his future remains here in New England.
I love the Patriots. I mean, they obviously, they got it's the greatest organization, and, you know, playing for Mr. Kraft all these years and for Coach Belichick, I mean, there's, you know, there's nobody who's had a better career, I would say, than me, you know, just being with them. So I'm very blessed, and I don't know what the future looks like, so, and I'm not going to predict it. So wish we'd done a lot of things better over the course of the season, but we just didn't get the job done.
And he was then asked about the possibility of retirement, which was a good question. And that certainly seems from this clip that that's off the table.
Tom, I know that you keep saying that you don't know what's going to happen in the future. Is there any possibility that you would retire after this last season?
I would say it's pretty unlikely, but yeah, hopefully unlikely.
See, the hopefully unlikely is interesting. And I think to me, that was just him being humble. As far as like saying, oh, I hope somebody wants me. And you think it's something completely different.
I think it's his wife. I think that's what it is. I think, well, no. My wife somehow convinces me or forces me to retire. That's the only way I'm stepping away from this.
You don't think they've had that conversation?
They have that conversation every year. She said to national television people that he's had multiple concussions and she wants him to quit. Brady has admitted as much.
Yeah.
And that's another conversation that they'll have, whether or not it was last night or in this week. You know, Tom, I want you to step away. It's enough. You've lost. You have nothing else to prove. The run here is over. Why go out and play for another team and have to put yourself through that? And Brady, that 99.99% of him that wants to play, left open the possibility that his wife can convince him to step away from it.
You see, I heard people say that he was saying hopefully, and that hopefully the Patriots will give me the money I want, and I don't agree with that. I just think he's being, like, fake humble. Yeah, not fake, but, you know, hey, hopefully someone will give me a gig. But, I mean, that guy, if he wants it, he's going to get paid. And we're going to have Jeff Howe in at 7 o'clock, and he's gone through the teams that have the best chances of not only landing Tom Brady, but what teams would make sense for Tom that he would want to play for. So, I mean, he's going to play next year. And I think the chances of, you know, even if we go down your path, Giselle saying don't play.
No, there's no chance of that, but that was where the hopefully was. And you're talking about all the possibilities and where Brady can play. The second playoff game, the second NFC wildcard round playoff game ended earlier. And what that meant, earlier than the network thought. So what that meant was Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth had to vamp for about 15 minutes so they could lead up to the Golden Globes. It was just the two of them in the booth talking about all the playoff games, and the last 5 minutes of it before they went to Ricky Gervais and the Golden Globes was about Brady and where he would play next year. And Al Michaels asked Collinsworth, so where is Brady going to play? Is Brady going to be back? And Collinsworth said, I don't have any, you know, direct insight to this, but I don't think he'll be back with the Patriots. And then Michaels asked him, all right, so where's he going to play next season? In Collinsworth's opinion, it will be with the Chargers.
Well,
that's what he said.
I mean, that used to be the front runner, but now I'm hearing other places, a couple ones. And one particular seems to be getting more traction as the days go by. But Belichick yesterday met with the media. It was his kind of closing session with the press, wrapping up the season. And it was great. I mean, it was excellent. And you are seeing a coach that right now is just trying to figure out what the hell direction does this team going to go in. He's got a lot of big decisions to make. He's got a lot of time. He's got to sit with the Crafts to figure out what they're going to do with that money. We will get to a little bit of that press conference, which was, I thought, very telling, right after John Walk's headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady dropped that short set. A throw to Truman, who drops it on the far side at the 45-yard line, turning to run before completing the catch.
Got a bunch of those this year.
And there have been a couple of them tonight. Not by Edelman, a couple, but that's his first to go with a big drop by Harry.
Just trying to make
earlier
play,
in the second half.
Look them run.
They win the game if he makes that catch.
I'm convinced of that, too.
Yep.
I'm convinced of that, too. And then the play after that where he was throwing to Philip Dorsett, the only thing I could think of after the play was Brady absolutely did not want to throw the football to Philip Dorsett there.
Nope.
And he was forced to because he was the only guy who had a chance.
Well, I just know that that particular play, it's so frustrating because Zoe is right. Not only has that happened a lot with Edelman this year, he led the league in drop passes.
Sure.
I think it was 9
mm-hmm.
I saw yesterday. And once again, you know, what do you do with this team? What do you do? Real quick, let's go to Gary on line 4. Gary, what's up, man? You've seen this Pool House Junkies movie that I was joking around. Tom Brady had that hype video with a Christopher Walken voiceover thing, and I was like, I've seen every Christopher Walken movie, and I've never heard of that film.
Then you missed a great movie because that is probably one of the best movies. It has one of the best endings I've ever seen in a movie. It's not a gritty crime drama like you were kind of dumping on.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a great, great movie. And if you can't find it, I have a copy if you want to borrow it. And you will love it.
Better ending than Screwballs 2?
It has nothing to do with that. Trust me.
Okay.
How much did it cost you to buy?
I will check it out. I'll go buy my red box and go to the grocery store and get myself a little DVD sleeve.
He's got a copy. How much does that run you?
33% on Rotten Tomatoes
for
Pool Hall Junkies. I mean, it totally looks like one of those. I mean, they made a million. When Pulp Fiction came out, there were a million bad ripoffs of Pulp Fiction.
Right.
And as I said, from that came Boondock Saints, which you're insane if you like that movie. That movie sucked.
Remember we had the cast of Boondock Saints 2 in the studio?
I had just seen Boondock Saints 2, and I'm like, that's one of the. Now, Boondock Saints, whatever. If you like it, okay, fine. Boondock Saints 2 is indefensible. Like that movie.
Everybody was in here, including Billy Connolly.
Oh, yeah.
They were all in here.
Well, so you know what I did? I just asked him about other things other than the Boondock Saints 2. Although we had, but the director, the Duffy guy, I forget what his last name is, Duffy. You know, there's that whole story about how, like, he was apparently addicted to the people he worked with. We talked to him. He actually ended up being an okay guy. And it was the dude who ended up being huge in The Walking Dead. He had just started in The Walking Dead. And so, I mean, you know, it was interesting. But, Boondock Saints, yikes. First one's not good, but I can understand if you say you like it, whatever. Boondock Saints 2 is absolutely indefensibly bad. Judd Nelson was the bad guy. Man, was that movie awful. All right, let's do this. Troy Duffy, that was the director's name that they had in there. All right, we'll take your calls in a minute, 617-779-0985. But yesterday, Bill Belichick did talk to the press, and it was really interesting. He was pressed on Brady's future with the team, and here's what he had to say.
Bill, obviously, given Tom Brady's age, and there's been a lot of talk about him, future. Do you have a timeline in your mind for when you'd like to sit down?
No.
Would you like to get clarity on his situation by the time the new league year starts?
Honestly, look, I mean, I know it's out there, just like there's a lot of other things out there. I mean, we could bring up 50 questions just like that one. And I told her what my state is on that. And so you can ask all 50 of them, and it's going to be the same answer 50 times, Ben. We've been working on Tennessee. It's 12 hours after the game. I'm not going to talk a lot of things about the future because I'm not prepared to talk about
it. I don't have 50 questions.
I'm sure you do. You can name 50 guys, 50 coaches. I mean, there's plenty. You could talk about anything you want. But in the future, they're all questions that need to be answered at some point in time by the organization, by myself, by the coaching staff, by some of the players. But those are collective decisions that are not made by one person. They're made collectively. And there's a lot of time and thought and effort and communication that goes into that. And now is not the time.
I certainly appreciate that. I have just one more. If Tom says he wants to come back and play,
and it's the same answer that I just gave you. We can just keep going if you want to.
I mean, did you hear the whole question? Because you talked over some of it. I said,
if
he says he wants to play, is he your quarterback next year?
And I gave you the same answer that I just gave you on the other ones. And we can go through some more if you want to.
It's Listen fine. To Ben Volen trying to ball up in front of maybe Mr. Tough Guy. But you know what? These are good questions. I'm not going to knock Volen's questions. But I did like this little exchange right here. Like, hey, God, Dan, pull me back up. This right here. Oh, is it not playing? Yeah, there you go, Dan.
We can just keep going if you want to.
I mean, did you hear the whole question? Because you talked over some of it. I said,
yeah.
Did you hear the whole question? Because you talked over it. Very nice, Ben Volen. I thought that was actually kind of funny. But the questions he was asking were legitimate, though, and it was that if Tom Brady wants to come back and be the quarterback for the Patriots, do you want him back as the quarterback
Seems
for the Patriots?
Seems a very simple layup answer was available for him, and he passed on it.
That's a good question. And that was, and you know what? That really is all that matters because, you know, there's a lot of people who were saying, as a matter of fact, let's take, because this is a point that this guy on line one's trying to make, and I'd like to hear it. John, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Yes, how are you? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
And, I just think it has to do with Kraft. I don't doubt that it has something to do with his wife also, but that hopefully I don't retire. It just seems like Kraft has something to do with that. I think if Kraft says, I want you to play, he's going to play. Bill Belichick has no choice but to play him if the owner's telling him to play him.
I think that the Krafts have already chosen sides, and they did that this past offseason when they didn't give Brady the money that he wanted, and they chose Belichick. And to be quite honest, I don't disagree with them. Because Tom Brady has a shelf life, and if you have to make a decision to the guy who at any point can be bad, I still think he could be a very good quarterback, or a coach, the best coach of all time, who you could have in your organization for 5 to 10 more years, you choose Bill Belichick. And I believe that it was a decision that was made this past offseason, and nothing's going to change that. Like, if they didn't give him his money at the beginning of this season, why would they do it now? And Tom Brady's not going to take 1 year. As a matter of fact, Jay Glazer had this report as far as him getting some sort of hometown discount and whether or not Tom Brady would take it.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, does he go back to the New England Patriots? He's an unrestricted free agent, and the Patriots cannot franchise him. I'm told if he does go back to the Patriots, he doesn't want to do the same hometown discount that he's done in the past. So then you also look at other options out there. Certainly a team that will help him with their fan base, but there's been talks about him going somewhere with Josh McDaniels. There's only four openings. There's only one without a quarterback. That's the Carolina Panthers. I just don't see that happening. I think he fits better in, obviously, with the Patriots, but then it comes down to money.
Also, if you're Brady, why would you want to come back to what you've already just been working with? Now, they would have to, like, if you're Tom Brady, you're in the catbird seat. You could pick where you want to go. There's going to be about five teams that are going to be killing to have you. It's almost going to be like what happened with Peyton Manning, where it was like everyone wanted him, and it was the whining and dining, and there were helicopters following
though.
The SUVs.
It's a little different. The Manning situation is a little different than the Brady situation.
Why?
Because Manning had 4 or 5 years left.
Manning
Brady
was coming off an injury.
I understand that.
And nobody knew it was going to be good.
It was a roll of the dice for Denver, and it paid off, but Brady has 2 years left. Manning was in his mid-30s. There was a lot more time. If it didn't work out the first year he was there, they knew they had him for at least another 2 or 3.
The Manning situation was a lot scarier, seeing the injury he was just coming off of. Tom Brady is still, I mean, we all know that, you know, what's been the narrative the entire year? Tom Brady has nothing to work with. He's had nobody to work with. So if you look at this and you're Tom Brady, you're not going to come back to the Patriots, A, for less money, or B, unless they commit to you that they are going to do some major work with this offense. And I don't know if they're capable of doing that.
He's taken less money in the hopes that they would go spend it on receivers for him. That didn't work out.
And now he's done with that.
I understand.
He's over it.
Hey,
officially a free agent.
He's earned his big paycheck. He's taken less money for 2 decades. I get where Brady is coming from. But look at it from the business standpoint of the Patriots. Are you going to spend 2 years and $50 or $60 million on a 43-year-old quarterback.
See, I don't think they are. I think he's gone.
By the way, regressed this year a little bit. Now, you can argue, was it because of the receivers who didn't know the offense? You added N'Keal Harry in late. Edelman had a lousy year and played hurt. Philip Dorsett, after, you know, spiking earlier in the season, was really a missing man later in the year. I mean, the argument can be made that if they bring all these receivers back next year, they will be more integrated into the offense and will know more. But at the same time, I mean, if I'm Tom Brady, I want to move on. And I guess if I'm the Patriots, I want to move on, too.
All right, Jeff Howe from The Athletic, and your calls next.
What about you, though? Will you be back here coaching this team next year?
I've just answered all those questions. All the future questions are the future. Right? We're less than 12 hours after the game.
That was almost a Miyagi Belichick moment. All future questions are the future.
You can answer that one. Are you going to be here coaching next year?
Yeah.
I prefer to think of it as everything is just, it's good, better for us. I prefer to think of everything as fluid. Well, if I'm forced to take Tom Brady back as my quarterback, no. I'm not coming back here next year.
I heard a lot of conversation. Is Belichick ready to do a rebuild? And to that I say, I think that he's been looking forward to this moment for a long time.
He wants to prove to everyone once and for all that it was him and not the quarterback that's responsible for these six Super Bowls.
And that's going to be one of my favorite storylines if Tom Brady ends up leaving, is who's going to find more success? Is it going to be Tom Brady with whatever new team that he chooses? Or is it going to be Bill Belichick with, let's just say, Stidham, you know, at the helm? I was talking to Mike Lockhart in the other room about this. You know, one thing for, like, if Belichick ends up going with Stidham and thinking that he's the guy, it wouldn't be the worst idea to bring in a veteran backup.
Andy Dalton.
I mean, listen, as a backup, sure, but not as your starter. And, and actually, Mike in the other room said, well, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean,
he will drive the fan base absolutely nuts.
But I mean, you know what would be? But it'd be way funnier if it was Andy Dalton, though. Admit it. Because what if Bill Belichick got Andy Dalton to be a stud?
That's the challenge.
And you know what completely is helping Andy Dalton's cause this offseason? Is Ryan Tannehill. Because they're looking at Ryan Tannehill and going, man, this guy's pretty good.
No, Tannehill,
maybe it's just the fact
Tannehill
that
Tannehill was bad, but at least he was mediocre. Dalton is a horrible quarterback.
You see, Dalton, for a couple of years, was a fantasy machine.
Yeah. How many years ago was that?
Four.
Maybe.
Either way, that's not the worst way to handle it, is to have a guy, you know, go,
obviously,
you're all in on Stidham.
Obviously.
But bring in maybe a veteran quarterback just to be back there.
Sure.
I can't believe we're talking about this. That's how weird this offseason is going to be. Is for the first time, you have this uncertainty in the one position that you've had all of the certainty in the world. So Brady's officially a free agent on March 14th, 4 p.m. And the Patriots have 2 months of exclusive negotiating rights before that date when his contract ends up voiding. As I said, Patriots, $49 million in projected cap space. That does seem like a lot, but there's a ton of different players that are going to be free agents as well. McCourty, Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins, as you said, Joe Tooney, Matthew Slater, amongst others. And it was kind of funny, Bovada, the odds website, came out with some odds as far as Tom Brady is concerned. Will Tom Brady retire before the 2020 regular season? No, obviously, is the favorite on that, minus 1,500. Will Tom Brady be on the Patriots roster for week one of the 2020 regular season? Right now, it's a flip a coin. Pick them, yes and no. Which team will Tom Brady play for in week one of the 2020 regular season? Now, this is where the betting money is going. This doesn't mean this is based in any kind of reality. This is right now Vegas taking a look and saying, here's who we believe is going, where Tom Brady is going to go. Now, this is other than the Patriots. What do you think the number one team is, according to Bovada? Who has the best odds? This is a shocker.
So it's not the Chargers.
It is not the Chargers. The Chargers are tied for third with 7-1 odds. This one's a shocker.
Okay, who is it?
But it would be fun as hell.
I always said Pittsburgh, but Roethlisberger already said he's coming back this year.
The Cleveland Browns, 5-1 odds, according to Vegas.
That must mean that Cleveland would hire McDaniels.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that is what Vegas is thinking, is that you could get McDaniels, Caserio too, right?
Didn't right.
They just, yeah. You
he's, get McDaniels, he's done after this draft.
Caserio and Brady, and they would trade Baker Mayfield and get some sort of compensation for it. But as of right now, Vegas has the Cleveland Browns in first place outside of the Patriots with 5-1 odds. After that, goes Carolina Panthers, 6-1 odds. They're probably thinking the exact same thing scenario where you bring McDaniels along. And then tied for second, another one that I love. I don't think Brady would ever do this, but the Las Vegas Raiders. And I think the school of thought is that Gruden has done this before with older quarterbacks. Who was the guy who won the Super Bowl?
Brad Johnson.
Yeah, Brad Johnson. He's been able to pull this off before where you take an older veteran quarterback and you put a decent team around him, because it is a decent team that he would have out there.
I'd love to see how old Brad Johnson was. I have to look that up, see how old Brad Johnson was when he won. I mean, Brad Johnson wasn't as old as you think he was.
Well, of course not, but he was at the end of his career. Like, he was definitely almost near the bottom of the old career rainbow. 7-1 odds, there are three teams that are tied for third. As I said, the Los Angeles Chargers, and then it goes the Dallas Cowboys, which, of course, would be hysterical if he ended up doing that. They need a coach as well. Heard they talked to Marvin Lewis. And the Indianapolis Colts. Could you imagine Brady going to the team that ultimately tried to ruin his reputation with the whole Deflategate situation?
I wouldn't worry about that possibility. Brad Johnson, by the way, 34.
Yeah,
he won.
Yeah, I know. He seems ancient when you think back at that.
It's different.
Yeah, Tom Brady's 8 years older than him. But I mean, that's the reason that people are going about the Gruden situation. And also, Gruden was always a Peyton guy. He was never a big Tom Brady guy.
Yeah.
He loved the sheriff, obsessed with the sheriff. And to be quite honest, I don't think I've heard Gruden like extol as much praise on Tom Brady as you would expect him to. Like, I was always kind of, I thought that whenever the Patriots would play on Monday Night Football, when Gruden used to do the color commentary, I thought that it was like, oh, he's going to fawn over Brady. Never really fawned over him the way that he would, you know, Nick Foles.
Not that he would kick him out the door, but yes.
Right, but yeah. It wasn't a way. Like, almost like there's something there.
And Brady was always number two.
And maybe he's still bitter about the whole Tuck Rule game and all of that, and maybe there's still a little something there.
You think?
Yeah, it could be. But I just...
That only happened 17 years ago.
Yeah.
No, 18. Sorry, 18 years ago.
All right. I just found that whole the Vegas 18. Thing hysterical, because the Browns were somebody that were completely off my radar. But, I mean, if you want to... I mean, think about it. He shows up, and let's say, you know, you end up keeping those receivers around. You got a hell of a running back in Nick Chubb. I mean, you got a pretty decent team around you.
Green Bay has talent on both. Not Green Bay. Cleveland has talent on both sides of the football.
They do. And they wildly underperformed. They had a bad coach.
But it would be the most Cleveland thing ever for them to follow through on this. Let's say Vegas is right and you have McDaniels go there, Caserio go there, Brady because he's comfortable, likes the offense, everyone, they blow up the offense. Like,
it makes Bert too Breyer much sense.
But then Brady, because he's 43, gets hurt and they traded away their future in Baker Mayfield, regardless of what you think about him, and in a year and a half, Cleveland's right back with the number one pick in the draft.
All right, 617-779-0985. Jeff Howell will be with us in a moment. He's been on top of this entire situation and, regarding the Patriots. Also, the future of Josh McDaniels and what this team is going to look like here in the offseason, right after John Wallach's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.